Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Steve Jordahl now joining us in studio.
Good morning.
Lest you think I'm talking about me being us, I'm not, because Ray Pritchard's with us from Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning again, Ray.
He's awake. I know he is.
Can you hear?
I don't think he can hear us this morning yet.
You there, Ray?
Okay.
Walker's with us.
Hey, I'm standing by from Mars. I'm sorry, the moon.
The moon.
Yeah, I'm from the moon.
We're on Earth. Walker's on the moon. And
Venus is unoccupied this morning.
Yeah. Well, Ray's out in the Milky Way.
Pluto or something.
All right, Walker, we're doing something we're very proud of that we do annually. Talk about that.
Yeah, this week on American Family Radio, you've probably heard it mentioned, but we're doing what we call Truth for Youth Bible Week. Truth for Youth Bible Week, and what we do once a year around this time in August each year is we partner with Revival Fires International and Minister Tim Todd, which you've probably heard interviewed on AFR. So AFA, AFR, and Revival Fires International, we partner each year to send Bibles into schools all across the country. So the way this works is we send free Bibles, us and Revival Fires International, we send free Bibles to students all across the country who request them and promise to pass them out at school. So they're free. All you have to do is request a Truth for Youth Bible to be sent in to the student, and then the student can use it for themselves, or they can give it to a lost friend at school. So it's a great opportunity to witness, a great opportunity to ensure the Word of God gets in to schools across the country. We've been partnering for 20 years with Revival Fires International, and we've sent together with a partnership, we've sent over 1 million Bibles into schools across the country. So here's the information you need to request your free Bible.
This sounds too good to be true. You're telling me, Walker, that I can get a free Truth for Youth Bible if my grandchild or my child will agree to give them away to another young person who doesn't know Christ. Is that right?
That's right. The only string attached is that you promise to give the Bible away to someone at school.
Okay, but what if they don't go to school?
They can still, if they're a student, they can order the Bible.
Okay.
And they can give it to one of their friends.
Right. They'll find somebody. The point is to give the Bible. These Truth for Youth Bibles, folks, they're designed with youth in mind. Okay, they have comics in the front about all kind of various and different subjects, and with a biblical answer at the end of the comic, and then the Bible. Let's see, it's the New Testament, mm-hmm. The New Testament, right?
That's right.
Truth for Youth. So, this is not a gimmick. You know, nobody's gonna use your email address or phone number to sell it to some company. This is strictly to be used for the purpose that we're talking about here, so don't feel worried when you order the Bible. You can also order multiple copies of these Bibles if you want to. I think they're $1 a piece or something like that. Anyway, Walker, how do folks call if they want to get a free one? You can get one per
student.
Student. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to give out the phone number, and then I'll give out the website. You can do either or, whichever one's most convenient for you. The phone number is 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. And we'll be giving out that number all day on American Family Radio. Or you can visit their website, truthforyouth.com. That's truthforyouth.com, and order on their website. So either or, call, go to truthforyouth.com to their website and fill out the form. Both ways, you can get a free Bible, one per student in your household.
By the way, that number you call dials Tim Todd's offices in West Monroe, Louisiana, right?
That's correct.
Okay. What's the 800 number again?
800-733-4737. Truthforyouth.com.
Steve, what do you got?
for a story. Hey, I just want to start this morning with something that happened in Beirut, Lebanon. We're not sure exactly what it is, but I asked Brent to post this up on our Facebook page. You can go look. There was a massive explosion in Beirut this morning. Not yet sure what caused it, but it was impressive enough that I asked Brent to put it up on our Facebook page just for the size of the explosion. Incredible.
Any idea?
Sorry. It looks like to me it's, I don't know, this is my first reaction. I don't even know any details.
About as much.
It just looked to me it may be an implosion, like a gas line broke or something like that, but that's a massive.
It is.
What was that building? Do they know?
They probably do, but they haven't told me yet. I found
Come on, Steve.
I know, right?
You have contacts in Lebanon.
I do. I'm going to be calling them once I get off the air here. But no, go to our Facebook page, folks, if you want to see something impressive. We'll figure out what that is. In other news, you know the big issue here that a lot of people in this country have been dealing with is whether or not we're going to be able to run an election during the coronavirus pandemic, whether people are going to be able to show up to the polls or whether they're going to have to be mailing in their ballots en masse. A lot of people are saying that mail-in ballots outside of the regular absentee ballot, if you have to do one of those because you're ill or you're away from your home, outside of that, having mass mail-in ballots is just fraught with a whole bunch of problems. There's a lot of potential voter fraud that can go on. And the Democrats have been wondering what's going to happen. And this is from Breitbart. I asked Brent to post this as well. Democrats, it says, are contemplating secession and possible civil war as they game out possible scenarios for a closely contested election. Civil war? They must know that something, you know, is probably not going to go well if they have to mail in everybody's ballots.
That was smart sounding, wasn't it? Can we do it again? I can do duh.
That's a gather my thoughts.
I can do statement. That's what you say when you're trying to gather your thoughts and you don't know what you're going to say. Or duh. Ray, we talked about this last hour, I think. This idea of massive mail-in votes is a non-starter with me. I don't even see how we're even considering it. Who is considering it?
Well, isn't it true that already a number of states basically have gone that way? I mean, a lot of these blue states, haven't they already said it's all mail-in ballots? I mean, isn't that what Oregon is already doing?
Yeah, they are. A lot of
Nevada
them.
Could be a swing state, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Walker, you studied, you were representing this morning in our meeting about what happened. Was it in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, a local news outlet in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, ran a investigative piece on what it would look like for mail-in voting, not just absentee voting, but mass mail-in voting with millions of people from across the country using mail-in voting. And in their experience, you have most states recommend you mail in your ballot when you're doing absentee or mail in through a couple of days before the election. Well, what they noticed is 4 days after they ran this test, and they basically sent themselves 100 ballots to a local PO box. And what they noticed is after 4 days, over 20% of the ballots had yet to show up in to the PO box in Philadelphia. And these were all mailed within the city limits. So it's not, they weren't being mailed 3 hours away. And 21% did not show up after 4 days. And then they had some trouble. The news station had some trouble even getting the ballots. They went to the front desk of the post office. The lady said, "I have no idea what you're talking about. We don't have any of your mail." So the news reporter had to get the manager involved. And he went in some closet back in the back of the post office and they found the ballots. So that's imagine that times 1,000, because that's
but
one.
But they had
post
a good
office.
Chain of custody, right?
There's right. No chain of custody.
Bill, you see a bag back there?
No, that was literally what happened. That was the kind of conversation that was going on in the back of the post office. So imagine That was 100 ballots at one P.O. box. Imagine that times millions across the country. It's a nightmare, and it would take days and weeks to count all that and get it put in. Yeah, it's illegitimate.
It's illegitimate. It's an illegitimate election, in my opinion, if states start going to – I don't know what these states do where you have – how many states do only mail-in?
Well, right now, Michigan and Nevada and a few others.
Now, they've already been doing this for years. Is that what you're saying?
No. This is a relatively new thing. This everyone vote by mail idea is a very new thing. You always had absentee voting, but now you have a few states, including Michigan and Nevada, that are sending out hundreds of thousands of ballots for residents all across the state.
Who's going to check the validity of this, Steve?
You can't.
Absentee ballots, it's like an affidavit, really,
right,
isn't it?
Right. Huh? You have to sign the outside of the envelope or something on the envelope that says it's a legitimate ballot.
Nobody's against absentee voting.
No. But that's not even to talk about ballot harvesting, which is another thing that the Democrats are doing, which is they go around and assign somebody to pick up all the ballots from the neighborhood, and then the courier takes them to the polling place or to the where they're counted. Now, if the Democrats don't want to put a whole bunch of Republican ballots in, and they know that they're collecting them in a place that has a majority Republican, they just they got lost.
They go in the trash.
You know how this is going to be played, Ray. We all know how this is going to go.
Yeah,
Republicans are trying to disenfranchise millions of Americans because they feel unsafe going to the polls, and they're putting their life at risk just to go vote. That shouldn't be so. We should allow for mail-in voting, and it's Donald Trump who's wanting to keep them from doing so. Anderson, back to you. Do you know that's how it's going down, Ray?
The virus gives the Democrats the perfect excuse to say exactly what you just said, because, you know, you don't want your grandma, you don't want your grandpa, you don't want somebody who's a little bit ill, you don't want anybody to risk getting sick at the polling place. So, sure, if there was ever a year when mail-in ballots were going to be popular, this is that year. So it's the perfect cover for the Democrats to say, let's all mail in our ballots and stay home and stay safe. Which, I think, Steve, goes back to your original point. Can you imagine a situation where on Tuesday night, November the 3rd, we don't have a clear winner? I mean, Michigan's up in the air, and PA is up in the air, and maybe Ohio, maybe Florida, good night, could be up in the air, hanging chads all over again, right? And let's suppose you wake up on Wednesday, and nobody knows. And it drags into Thursday, and nobody knows, and drags into Friday. So maybe a week or 10 days down the road.
Not for Broward County. You're talking 6 or 8 months.
Well, in fact, Lawrence Tribe on MSNBC, was talking with Joy Reid, suggested that perhaps the confusion that's caused by this will delay the Electoral College vote. They won't even know by January 20th. If they don't know by January 20th, says Harvard Law Professor Lawrence Tribe, and the Democrats maintain control of the House, Nancy Pelosi becomes president. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Wow. This is something we really need to keep an eye on, and we need to get ready for, because this is not hypothetical. This could happen in a far-fetched land. This is going to happen. Now, there's
what's
one
gonna
caveat.
What's going
to happen? The delay in declaring a winner. The only way that there's not going to be a delay in declaring a winner is if it's a landslide. If you have something similar to 2016 where President Trump or Biden wins most of the swing states, wins Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and a few others, then you could have a winner that night. But if it's close in those states and you have mass mail-in voting, then you're talking days, if not weeks, before you have a declared winner.
Okay, but I want to move on. But to reiterate here, a mail-in vote, you don't even know, A, if it's going to arrive on time, but B, whether the person who that ballot was sent to was the actual person who voted. You have no way to know that. Is that correct?
No, there's no verification system.
All right, then that's ripe for fraud.
Yeah.
As Jerry Nadler said.
Right.
So you go in person to vote, or you vote absentee. That's it. To me, that's the only legitimate way to vote. Now, this is something I'm missing here. But absentee, yeah, absolutely. It's like an affidavit, like I said earlier. You have to make the effort. A person has to initiate it who wants to vote absentee. I've done that before myself.
Tim, Ray. If you want to go back to where they started this whole discussion, this thing about, quote, civil war or secession, it's hard to sit here on August the 4th and take that seriously, although I admit I'm thinking about it more than I was 6 months ago, right, when it was all just hypothetical. But, Tim, if you want a scenario where the country breaks apart, it's exactly what you just said, where 10 days or 2 weeks after the election, we don't know. Can you imagine if somehow 2 weeks afterwards Trump wins anyway? What will the left do then?
Burn down what's left.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, America. We've seen how much trouble they've had accepting 2016 results.
Yeah.
Imagine another victory. There's no way they're going to accept it.
All right, I want to play this before we run out of time here. I watched Herschel Walker, famous athlete over the weekend on Judge Jeanine,
yep.
And I thought, man, I want to play this on Today's Issues for those who didn't get to hear it.
Yeah, he was talking about this whole debate about whether to kneel for the national anthem, all these players that are doing it. Herschel Walker, Dallas Cowboy, and several other teams running back, he doesn't think it's a good idea. This has got three.
The NFL got nothing to do with Kaepernick, got nothing to do with that. They got to do with Donald Trump. So I think the commissioner now needs to take control of this and not leave it up to a dead. He said, guys, this is what we're going to do from now on.
Does that mean Herschel telling them you have to stand or you can't kneel? Does it mean making a league-wide rule?
I do. I think it means making a league-wide rule that if you want to protest off the job. What I say is I think everyone needs to stand. Everyone needs to be respectful. And then what I do is, guys, during the offseason, if you want to go walk the picket line in front of Congress, I will be right there with you.
That wasn't the interview I was talking about. But
I'm sorry.
No, this was just Justice Jeanine. Maybe we can find it for tomorrow.
Okay, I'll look for it.
But it was Judge Jeanine talking to Herschel Walker, and it was fantastic the way he talked about our country. Herschel Walker is a patriot. He loves God. And oh, by the way, he was the greatest college running back in history. He's saying, listen, you stand for the national anthem to honor our country. And that's just the way it always has been and the way it should continue to be. And he's saying that the people who run the leagues, for example, the NFL, can tell their employees that you're going to stand for the national anthem. It's part of our decorum. It's part of our product. It's part of our appeal to our customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But the NFL is going in the other direction.
Right.
And the NBA.
And I hope they just flop.
The ratings have been down significantly.
If they're going to do that, I hope they just flop because – and if the college football – if this season, if we see social justice messages on uniforms, because you remember what one of the points Herschel Walker made back to the professional ranks, you remember, Ray, you were living in Dallas when those four police officers got murdered.
Right, right.
On that one day by the sniper.
Yeah. Right.
The Dallas Cowboys wanted to put a emblem, a small emblem, or a decal, I don't know, on their helmet.
Right.
Right,
something to commemorate or to say, you know, we as a community here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Dallas Cowboy fans, we mourn the loss of these police officers. The NFL said, no, you can't do that. You can't put anything on your uniform. It's an NFL uniform. Sorry. Whatever the message is, we say no.
Until now.
Tell Tim, when Tim Tebow played in the NFL, you can't put your Bible verses underneath your eyes
right. Like
you did at the University of Florida. But now they changed all that. They changed all that, and they said, no, we have no standard any longer. We're going to let you put anything you want on your uniform, basically. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm just telling you, I think a lot of people feel like I do. I've already basically tuned out professional sports.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy the NFL here and there in the football season. But if they start this garbage of kneeling every week in mass, I'm not gonna even pay attention at all. But college, it would be painful.
Yeah.
For me to, Ray. We love college athletics, college sports, right. But if they start going down the same road the NFL goes down, huh?
I think they're going to do that, Tim. I think that's going to happen. I'm not saying every school, every game, but yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Well, if they want to do it, and this is just a personal opinion, okay? If they want to do something the first week to show unity, all right, Walker? Okay, I can live with that. You start having I can't breathe on the back of uniforms where the name's supposed to go, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. Now, maybe I'm alone. I think it'll be two or three people joining
me. No, I'll be with you.
Okay, you'll be with me.
Yeah.
And we love college football. Our family gets together to watch college football on Saturdays in the fall. It's a tradition, as it is with millions of people. We love watching college football. But college football, basketball, baseball starts doing the same thing these pro leagues are with all this social justice stuff. I'm not gonna support it. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's one thing that brings unity, and it's the national anthem. The national anthem was not intended to be political. It's patriotic. So if you want unity, you stand for the national anthem. If you want disunity, then you disrespect our country and our flag.
And the people who fought and died for it.
Correct. And there's many people out there like ourselves that aren't going to watch the garbage. I'm not watching and giving my ad, ad support, which is money, to people disrespecting our country.
Yeah.
If they have a political position, that's fine. They're Americans. They have a First Amendment. When they get done playing the football game, which is only makes up under 1% of their time each week, then they can go march before Congress, just as Herschel Walker said.
You know, what you gonna watch now? Week one, the NFL said we're going to play the Black National Anthem, which I never knew there was a Black National Anthem. I don't think most Black people knew there was a Black National Anthem, huh? I never heard. You know what? What's the name of the song, Ray? You know, or
lift every voice,
let every voice.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, I didn't even know it was the Black National Anthem.
It's a good song that dates back to the Civil Rights era.
Maybe a wonderful song, and I'm not against playing the song. Right. I'm just saying, imagine if NFL players stand for the Black National Anthem. This is what Herschel Walker was talking about over the weekend. They stand for the Black National Anthem. Herschel Walker said, what are we going to play next? The White National Anthem? The Hispanic National Anthem? Huh? What are we? What are we, African? Anyway. Okay, you're going to stand for the Black National Anthem, and then here comes the Star Spangled Banner with the presentation of the colors, and they're going to take a knee for that. That's what you're about to see in the NFL. Now, we've criticized and praised Drew Brees, depending on what day who he listens to last. So that was a cheap shot. I apologize. But he said he's going to stand now for the national anthem, because I think he realized I can't stand for the Black National Anthem and kneel for the American National Anthem. That's not going to look good. So he's decided he's going to stand with the national anthem. I apologize for the cheap shot there. All right, Ray, thank you.
My pleasure.
Walker?
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Steve?
My pleasure.
Thanks to Ray and Brent. Frank Turek, and for you listening to this program, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.